Living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Poor Boudreaux went to Mamou's only veterinarian and feed store because he was foaming at the mouth. Dr. Boudreaux examined him and had to give him some terrible news. Boudreaux, that raccoon what bit you gave you an incurable form of the rabies. You're gonna die. Boo calmly got out some writing paper and a pencil, and he began to write. Dr. Tibb patted him on the back and nodded and said, Boo, that's a good idea to make out your last will and testamentary. Boo replied, it ain't my will. It's not, what is it? Making me a list of people I'm planning on going out and biting. That's the nature of revenge, isn't it? Somebody made us mad. We want to go out and bite them. We want to get them. We want to get even. Now, Peter comes forward in our gospel. He thinks he's got it. Jesus has just done a discourse on how we're to behave as Christians in a church. And he thinks he's got it. Jesus, I know that the rabbis say to forgive three times, but I think what you want us to do is double that. Let's forgive six times, and for good measure, we'll throw in another one. What do you think, Jesus? Should we forgive them seven times? I think Peter was really proud of himself. And Jesus said, no, Peter, we're supposed to give oodles of time. Now, at least in seminary, that's what I translated it at in Greek. Because you see, when you read it, the rich man has oodles of money. We like to think of it that way. 7 times 70, what one translation says, another one says 77 times. I think the correct translation is Jesus said oodles. Oodles of money. Now, I want you to understand why I'm saying that. This is a hilarious story. I don't know if you picked up on it. When Sharon was reading the gospel, you should have been busting at the seams, provided you got up early this morning and read everything in the original Greek. We need to understand the king's slave would have been allowed to earn a little bit of money. Over 15 years, that slave could probably earn one talent, if he was lucky. The whole 15 years, one talent. Jesus' audience knew that. So when Jesus said, this king let the servant borrow 10,000 talents, people would have fell over laughing. Billy laughed. A king couldn't even have 10,000 talents, much less loan that amount to a slave. To put it in perspective, we're talking about the equivalent of the national debt. He loaned the equivalent of the national debt. So as you can see in seminary, when I translated it as oodles, I meant it. This is an absurd moment. Following the custom of the time, this dummy king who loaned the slave enough money to purchase a large island in the South Pacific and build a huge city on it, said to himself, I will sell the slave and his family, and I'll get myself back one or two talents. Everybody had to roll. But then Jesus hits him up, the zinger. The king says, I forgive it all. Every last penny. No jail time, no selling off of your family, nothing at all. Freely given, because the slave said, have mercy, have patience, I'll pay it back. Yeah, he's going to pay back the national debt, right? This is God's forgiveness. The audience would have nodded, they got it, they understood the parable, and then Jesus continues, and that's where the train jumps the track. The slave leaves. Now, he's whistling. He's probably bopping up and down, telling himself, this is so cool. I just got 10,000 talents wiped off. I'm clear. And then he sees another slave that owes him money. He grabs him by the scruff of the neck. You pay me what you owe me. 100 denarii, to be exact. Now that's a few bucks. A few bucks. He demands the money. And the slave says almost the same words. Have patience. But the slave that is owed money has no patience. He throws him into debtor prison. That's what they used to do. You throw them into prison so their family coughs up the money that's owed. Jesus' audience is mad. This Yahoo, this knucklehead that was forgiven the national debt, throws another slave in prison over a few bucks. Now, the story's not complete. Jesus continues on. The king found out about the slave that he had forgiven, who went out and grabbed somebody by the scruff of the neck and demanded money nowhere near what his slave had owed. And it's a wait-a-minute moment. The audience is about to hear it, and I hope you heard it. God judges us on how we forgive others. Jesus is saying, shame on you if you do not forgive your brother and sister. You have been forgiven so freely, how can you not forgive others? Stephen Felker tells a story in How Often Should I Forgive? And I'm going to paraphrase him, about two friends walking in the desert. On the first day of the walk, they get into a fight. One slaps the other in the face. The one who was slapped in the face writes in the sand, today, my friend slapped me in the face. The journey continues. The next day, they're at an oasis and decide to take a bath. And he got stuck in the mire and was drowning. His friend pulled him out and saved him. So he writes on a rock, today, my friend saved me. His friend turned around and said, wait a minute. Yesterday, you wrote in the sand, my friend slapped me. Today, you're writing on a rock, my friend saved me. Why? He said, it's simple. It's very simple. When someone hurts us, we should write it down in sand where the winds of forgiveness can erase it away. But when someone does something good for us, we must engrave it in stone so no wind can ever erase it. Now, that's real forgiveness. Leaving the sins of others in the sand so it gets blown away, and writing down every time in a rock the goodness they did for us. It's creating that God-like characteristic, but we're human and we're not God, and so we fail to do this. But it doesn't mean we don't need to try. The king didn't require anything else. A slave was free, but with us, we like to bite people, to hold grudges. We want to forgive, but don't ask us ever to forget. We're like a dog. You ever seen a dog with a bone? The dog carries that bone to the backyard, roughs it up, buries it. Give it a little time, and what does the dog do? Goes back to the bone, digs it up, and chews on it. He wants to recreate that savory feeling again. That's what we do when we forgive. Sometimes we don't forget. Counselors are used to it. They call it the historical spouse syndrome. Notice I didn't say hysterical. That's when a spouse forgives and the person does something like what had just happened again. So they go ballistic and they bring up the past over and over and over again. That's like the dog with the bone. That's not God. When God forgives, you're forgiven, period, full stop. Forgiveness really does mean for time and all eternity, you are forgiven. And we've got to remember that. Jesus is saying, plain and simple, if you forgive someone, forgive them. Forgive them. Write it in the sand. Let the wind of time erase the memory. Don't write their sin on a rock So you can use it like a caveman's weapon to bash somebody over and over. I forgive you, but bam. I forgive you, but pow. No. Use the rock to write the good they have done. Now, Jesus knew it would be hard. That's why he picked such a ridiculous parable. If God can forgive the national debt, surely we can forgive a single sin, something horrible that someone has done. We can write that sin in the sand, and we can forgive them. And remember, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. I hope you mean it. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespassed against us. The answer to the riddle Jesus poses is this. We're not God, but we're called to be God-like in forgiving others. God expects us to understand he has forgiven us oodles and oodles of sin. We are to start forgiving others at least a few bucks worth.